Thank you, Nina. Praise the Lord. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I want to share a couple of testimonies. Actually, I'm going to share one, and then Petra's going to share one. And if you have a testimony you'd like to share, please talk to us before service, like Petra did today, so we can plan it in. You know, we prayerfully plan our services, believe it or not. We have a game plan, but we actually pray that into place, and we believe that when we're in the service, we're going according to how God wants us to do it and what we would do next. And so if you have something to share, please share with us before service so we can pray about that and know where God wants it in the game plan. It's just that simple. And anyway, but I just want to share something with you today that's miraculous. And how many of you guys have a working friendship with your delivery guy, you know, UPS, FedEx, U.S. Post Office? Anybody have a good relationship with the delivery guy? Yeah. Well, I'm on good terms with all my guys. They stop to visit my house, and especially the UPS guy that almost always shows up in our house. He's a brother in Christ, lives in Sierra Vista. And you never know what's going to happen. I've had him jump out of the truck, you know, with the package, and he'll throw the package down and say, "Brother, I need prayer." And so we'll just lock arms and we'll go to praying, you know, and things like that. And it just, the unexpected is always happening with him. And he may jump out of the truck, and I'll just give him a prophecy before he gets off the last step, you know. The Spirit of the Lord just arrives with him. It's just a blessing to have a Spirit-filled man of God on the UPS truck. Amen? Well, anyway, this past week, I believe it was Tuesday, my friend James, and by the way, he financially supports on a weekly basis our mission into Mexico. He believes in what we're doing here, and you've never even met him. How about that? But we've known him for some years, and he supports us in prayer and in finances. Anyway, he jumps off the truck on Tuesday and said, "Brother, you got to hear this. You got to hear this." Now, he goes to church in Sierra Vista where they believe in shouting and making noise and swinging from the chandeliers. And it's kind of like we do here. And anyway, but their pastor's name is Bishop Sexton. Anybody ever hear of Bishop Sexton? He's real cool. Yeah. And anyway, he says, "You got to hear this." He said, "One of our church members collapses with a heart attack. And they call the ambulance, and they take him into the hospital there in Sierra Vista. And he's flatlined. I mean, he's flatlined. They hook him up, you know, to all the wires and machines. He's flatlined. He's gone." But they had called Bishop Sexton, so Bishop shows up. And Bishop goes, you know, goes, finds the guy, and runs in, finds where's he at, and finds him. And they had already put him in a special corner of this room where, you know, where they put the guys that are flatlined. And they had already covered him, you know, with a cloth. He'd gone. But Bishop Sexton walks in, and he puts his hand on the guy's foot and begins to pray. He prays, and he prays, and he prays. And the doctor says, "He's gone." Bishop just keeps praying. "He's gone, doctor, he's gone." Bishop keeps praying. Pretty soon, the machine goes, beep, beep, beep. The bishop, you know, moves up a notch in his prayers, you know, praying in the spirit. Beep, 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 beep. The doctor comes rushing in and he said, "Hey, don't get all shook about this. It can happen. Sometimes when a person goes, when they die, they come back for a minute or two, but you know, it's over. He's gone." And the longer the doctor talks, the louder the machine gets. Beep, 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 you know. So finally the doctor says, "You know, this is a special thing. We know if his body does live, he'll be brain dead because he's been, you know, hasn't breathed for 30 minutes. Now, I don't know a whole lot about that, but 30 minutes is a long time. He hadn't breathed for 30 minutes. The doctor says if his heart keeps beating for some unknown reason, he will be brain dead. It's over. But because his heart is being persistent to beat, we need to send him to Tucson." So they put him on a helicopter, fly him to Tucson, and put him in a special ward where they take care of situations like that. You know, living dead man or whatever. Well, Bishop follows him up in his car as fast as he can. He finally gets there. It takes a while to find the guy because they have him stuffed away in this corner somewhere. And the bishop walks in, and and they don't know what to do with him. He's dead, you know. If he keeps beating, he's brain dead. It's all over, you know. It's all bad news, bad news. And the bishop walks in, prays for him again, you know, prays. And things just kept getting stronger, stronger, and stronger. Finally, bishop receives this release. He gets relief to walk out of the room. He walks out in the hall, and he's just walking up and down the hall praying, praising God. And a couple minutes later, the doctor comes trotting out of the room and says, "Hey, bishop, you got to go back in there. He's wanting to talk to you." And I was sharing with Brother James, the Ups man. I said, "Brother, you know, we read about things like this, but when it's that close to home, when it's your pastor that's, you know, included in it, when it's this, I said, this is close enough to home, makes me want to shout." So we just had a shouting good time out there in the driveway, you know. But I'm telling you, God works miracles. It's what he does best, amen. Petra, come on up. I want you and Barbara to come. She's going to share a couple of miracles. And like I say, if you have miracles you want to share, talk to us. We'll enter them in next Sunday. We kind of have a full page today, a full plate, so I don't want to take a lot of time with this, but you got 3 minutes. Three miracles, 3 minutes.
Hello, everybody. I just wanted to talk to you guys about my miracles because I've been praying for this miracle so bad that I just left it in God's hands. But anyway, the first one was about my son. He's an alcoholic, my youngest one, and I've been fighting a battle with him to, you know, slow down and stop drinking. So I've had him like that sober for 2 days, and I'm still going at it, and he hasn't drank for 2 days. And just, I want you guys to, you know, just keep praying for him that it would keep going on like that. And another miracle that I pray for is my daughter. She's been going through a lot of stress and problem with her fistula. She gets sick off and on. But tomorrow she's going to go into surgery and have her fistula taken out from on top of her chest. And the other miracle that I had is that I've been receiving money from people that I don't even know. And I had a message through my cell phone that I was going to have that miracle coming to me, but I never knew when. And so I got $1,000 in my miracle, so I'd let you guys know about it. But I've been helping my family with their sickness, and, you know, I haven't kept, you know, none of it because I wanted to help them out too. And the thing is that I know these miracles do work, and I believe in them, and I do have faith in that too. I just hope that every one of you guys do pray for your miracles, but you will never know when it's going to come to you. And when it hits you, you always just, you know, forget about it. And then all of a sudden, it comes to you, and then you say, "Wow, that was a miracle that I had prayed for." Anyway, thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise God for miracles. We serve a miracle-working God. I just want to, I'm going to keep this brief, but I want to share the message. I was going to give some things on giving, but the word that the Lord gave me, the scripture, was give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over will men give unto you, for with the measure you used, it will be measured to you. Well, I want you to know this morning in praise and worship, we broke through in giving. We broke through in giving worship to God. Hallelujah. We broke through. We broke through into that area where we were completely giving our worship to the Lord. Hallelujah. And that works in every form. But when we exalt Jesus, miracles happen. When we exalt the Lord, miracles take place. When we give abundantly out of the abundance of our heart to God, hallelujah, all kinds of blessings come back to us, hallelujah. It puts us in line to receive the miracles when we worship the Lord and just give him all that we are and all that we have, hallelujah. And I just enjoyed that. But the Lord had also put on my heart to read a prophecy that we received in this church 2 years ago when Matt Merrill was here. During praise and worship, I saw him sitting, just writing and writing and writing, and I knew he was hearing from the Lord, and I said, "Okay, Matt, tell me what God said." And this is the word the Lord gave him. And the Lord said, "Douglas will be known as successful, prosperous, happy, and known. I'm about to expose resources that fuel a new movement of economic growth. The economy is mine. Declare prosperity over Douglas. Claim my righteousness in the economic system of the area. The church is rising up to lead and innovate in the economic and social systems. It will be righteous mammon, says the Lord. It will be full of justice. You know, Douglas has had some mammon in the past that's not been righteous mammon. Hadn't been righteous, but God's going to give us righteous mammon. Bless us. Hallelujah. That just thrills me. There is a new vision for Douglas. It will be revitalized and lead in economic ways and beyond. And I'm going to say some decrees that the Lord that had put on my heart before with this prophecy. I decree that the economy is God's. His righteousness reigns in the economic system of our area. I decree the church is rising up to lead and innovate in the economic and social systems. I decree that godly companies are rising up in Douglas. I decree that lost harvest will now be restored to us. I decree that lost property will now be restored to us. I decree that lost finances will now be restored to us. I decree the years the locust and palmer worm and cankerworm have eaten will now be restored. I decree angels sent to bring us success, prosperity, and financial security be loosed in Jesus' name. I decree angels who connect us to places, people, events, business, material properties, sales, jobs, job promotions that prosper us be loosed in Jesus' name. I decree the tithe brought to God's house causes Jehovah Jireh, our provider, to open the windows over our lives and families. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I decree that wealth is being transferred to us individually and corporately. I decree that financial bondage is being broken. I decree that debt is being supernaturally removed. I decree that angels sent to reveal hidden treasure we knew nothing about will be loosed in Jesus' name. I decree prosperity be released now, that lack is bound and abundance is loosed. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Mitch? Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time. Oh, amen. 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 I believe all that. Amen. I believe what God has said about Douglas. Amen. I receive that. Amen. Amen. Whew. Ooh, boy. Where do you go from there? Home? God is good. You know, during worship, I had a, you know, let's just, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. Thank you, Jesus. If you're at 1 Thessalonians, let's go to chapter 5. Let's go to verse 19 and 20. In my version of the Bible, the New Living Translation, it says here in 19, it says, "Do not stifle the Holy Spirit." What does that mean? Let the Holy Spirit do what it wants to do. Amen? And I believe that that's a call on our lives to just let the Holy Spirit be and let the Holy Spirit do what Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. Amen? And in verse 20, it says, "Do not scoff at the prophecies." Amen. Some prophecy has been working today. There's some Holy Spirit that's been working today. And let's not stifle those things, but let them grow and let them mature and let them be what the Holy Spirit wants them to be. Amen. I believe that's a good word for today. Let's go. Don't stifle the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, run, run. The Holy Spirit says, jump, jump. Amen. The Holy Spirit says, shake somebody's hand. Say, hug, hug. It says, do something, do it. Amen. Don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit work. Amen. Yes. Amen. We are free. We are free. We are free by the blood of Christ. We are free with the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Amen. I have a word from the Lord, and during worship, the Holy Spirit was moving somewhere, and I'm pretty sure we're going to tie it together. He has something new. Then we're going. Just let's pray. Holy Father, I pray this morning, and I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, and I thank you that your word is true. And I thank you that your word is going to ring through our hearts and our minds and our souls. And Father, it will be for today, and it will be a word from the Lord from you for us this morning. Oh, Lord, I thank you. You're so powerful. I thank you. In Jesus' name we said, amen. Amen. Now, the last two times I was up here, I talked about building a house. If you've been here, you can say yes. Say amen. All right, building a house. We were talking about how the Word tells us to build a house and building on a solid foundation. And that solid foundation is? Jesus, the rock. Amen? The rock. Then we taught on how letting Jesus come in basically and be our interior decorator. And come in and remodel our house and tearing down walls here and tearing down walls there and building this here and throwing things out here and doing that stuff. Amen? To create a place because He is wanting to come inside and live. And where sin is, He cannot be. This is where we ended. And today, we're going to touch on another topic concerning the house. Concerning a house. A house, the way that the Bible uses house as a metaphor is basically comparing it to your life. When we talk about building a house on solid foundation, he's really talking about how do you build your life on solid foundation. So how do you build your house on solid foundation? Well, the house or the life has to be built, and then your house and then your life has to be furnished. Your life and your house has to be taken care of. You have to clean up after messes. I'm sure a lot of us love to do that. I know that in my house I hate that. Oh my gosh. Anyway, in a house, you have to fix up anything that gets broken or gets out of place. You got to straighten things up when they get out of place. That's what happens with a house. That's another thing I really don't like to do. But it has to happen. Amen. In order to keep your house the way that you want it to be, those things have to happen. Amen? Amen. So then in your house or in your life, we could say then is you have to ask yourself these four questions. What is wanted? What is needed? What is necessary? And what can you be without? You got to put in what you need and take out what you don't need. Amen. Today we talk about this conversation of our house, and I want to talk about it as far as clean your house. Clean up your house or get rid of the clutter. Because that all stuff gets in the way. If you know what I mean. How many of us have a house, have an apartment, whatever it is? Stuff that just gets pushed places that doesn't really mean a whole lot just gets in the way. And you spend your time messing with that stuff instead of doing the things that are necessary and that you need to get done. Amen? So we're talking about cleaning the house. Get rid of the clutter. Amen. That's good. That needs to be done. I was reading about around New Year's things, and it fits for today because it's kind of interesting. That how many of you have been to New Year's Eve in Italy? In Italy. If you do, this is going to sound cool, and maybe check it out if you ever get there. All right? So the story goes like this. They have an interesting way to celebrate New Year's. So on New Year's, as the clock is ready to strike, traffic is cleared. There's no pedestrians. The policemen take cover. And the story goes like this, is that at the stroke of midnight, the windows of every house fly open, and to the sound of laughter and music and fireworks, and every member of the family throws out old dishes, detested ornaments, hated furniture, and a whole bunch of personal stuff that reminds them of something in the past year that they're determined to wipe out of their minds. Let's do that. They're cleaning house, amen? And, you know, I read that story, and I was like, that's a really cool thing to do. Maybe I'll do that. We never did it, but maybe I'll do that someday. Because there's just a lot of junk that probably sits around my house. And if you're like me, there's a lot of junk there that we tend to hold on to that really doesn't mean a whole lot, but we hold on to it because we think it means a whole lot. Amen? Or, we're going to get into this, we like to think about what it means. So maybe somebody that did something wrong to you gave you something, and you're like, I'm going to keep that, and one day I'm going to get back at that person. Whereas the Bible says, let it go. Amen? You know, certain things like that that we might keep around as a memory of bad things. Well, as the story goes in Italy, throw it out. Throw it out. Wipe it out of your mind. In the same way, then, I don't think we need to wait till New Year's. I think we could all do this probably this afternoon. Today is a good day to start some spiritual house cleaning. And physical, if need be. Three questions that I came through when reading that story and trying to rereading that story and trying to put it in place here is that in the past years, have you grown closer to the Lord? And has there been spiritual progress? And have I developed my gifts that God has given me? Because maybe those things that are lying around your house and those things that really don't matter are getting in the way of those three things. And so some spiritual house cleaning might open the door and open the gates for you to grow this year or to grow in your gift and to harness the gift that God has given you to do, the gift that the Holy Spirit has placed upon you to do for your life and your assignment, amen? And maybe those things that you're holding on to that need to be cleaned out to make way for what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life, amen? If you're like me, and I hope you're not, but if you are, your home is full of piles and piles and piles of paper, stacks of books, a variety of clutter. Yes? Clutter. And, you know, we try to make cute sayings like, oh, it looks lived in. Anybody ever said that before? I know I have. Oh, it's okay. It looks like people live here. It's cool. And I'm not saying a whole bunch is wrong with that, but there's probably some stuff you got to get rid of. And what I'm really trying to do is trying to tie that to your life. That there's some stuff inside of us that we just need to get rid of and clean out. Amen? Get it out. And you know, when you look at Your phones, if you have a phone, and if you get your emails and stuff like that, you check emails, your email gets filled up with thousands and thousands of emails, and there's not enough time in a day to go through and clean out the email, and so it keeps boom, 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 and then when you think all of a sudden, you know what, 10,000 emails is too much, then it wastes half an hour, 45 minutes, or an hour of your day to just go through and delete everything. And making sure that you're not deleting something important, right? Whereas if we would stay on top of it and just clean it out right away, or maybe not let it in, then we don't waste our time doing those things. And I hope you see the comparison I'm making with a house and an email inbox or whatever it is with our lives. My email right now, I have like several, and they're all over 1,000 emails. And I'm pretty sure none of them mean anything. It's just building and building and building and not meaning a darn thing. So one day I'm going to have to sit down and delete them all, and it's going to take time out of my day that I could be doing something else, probably something more productive. Amen? And so the worst clutter of all is the clutter that builds up in your heart. And what I mean by that is that it can damage your relationships. And it can damage and make sure, and all that clutter makes sure that you don't enjoy life. And God made your life to be joyful and exciting and happy. Amen? And all that junk that you keep around is in the way of that. Clean it out, people. Clean it out. What builds up in our hearts can be so damaging. And I'm sure, like me, you have some things in there that you hold on to, that you just want to keep because it's something that, yeah, you just don't want to let go of. But I'm telling you right now, it's damaging your life. The Bible says that what we hold on to, if we don't forgive and let go, then we're going to have a problem. We have been forgiven much. Therefore, we should forgive much. Amen. We've got to remember that we aren't necessarily worth it. But God made us worth it all. Amen. He forgave us so much. I'm talking men and women, can tend to be savers, you know, stockpilers of junk. I know that in my own personal life, there are some things that I just hold on to because it's cool. Not like I'm going to use it at all, but hey, I have it, right? I don't know if you're in that same boat. Like, it's cool. I have some guitar things that I probably don't need and I probably never use. I don't know why I spent $300 on it, you know. But you know what I'm saying? It's things like that. And that's just a little bit of a personal story. But I mean, when we're talking about inside in our hearts, we let things in and we bring things in that necessarily don't belong there. And then we leave it there. And then sometimes we ask ourselves, well, why am I having a problem with this? Well, it's because this thing right here, whatever you put in there, is in the way of you trying to do what it is you're supposed to do or what it is you're wanting to do. Amen? You know, I'm just going to point some things out, and if this fits, then rock and roll. We save cards and notes and letters and movie tickets and newspaper clippings and recipes and tools, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we also hold on to non-physical things like hurts and anger, resentments, negative words and negative memories that cause us to have weird flashbacks and things like that. Now, if you're there, then rock and roll. If not, then you're perfect. We remember things about husbands or wives or friends that they said maybe 15, 20 years ago. Or sometime your son or your daughter or somebody said, I want a different daddy or I want a different mommy. And we hold on to those things. We take things out of context, out from yesterday, and we're like, oh, what did this person say to me 10 years ago? I hate them. I haven't spoken to him since, but dang it, that hurt me. 10 years ago. And that, what I'm saying, people, and that is what's blocking your relationship with them. Maybe they need you. They might be in the wrong, but you should always be in the right. Amen? Amen. We remember failures too. Our failures are, we etch them in stone like they're, I'm going to always go back to that failure. Oh, but I couldn't do that. But I didn't do that. We put up a shrine to those failures, and then in the future we say, we can't do this. I tried once before, I can't do it. You know, the Holy Spirit works anew every day. So maybe it wasn't the time for that, but maybe today is. Amen? You know, sometimes we make mistakes, and as children we make mistakes, or our children make mistakes, and we label them. Oh, they're the loud kid, or that's the, I don't know, that's the messy kid, or that's the dirty kid, or whatever it is, right? The Bible tells us somewhere that your words create life or death. I'm just saying that maybe we need to be careful what we put out, because that might create something that we don't want later on. Amen? You know, some people say, you know, I'm a sarcastic person. You know, I say that a lot. I shouldn't. Because that just makes me feel like I'm okay by being really, really sarcastic. And it's not, because some people don't get that. And they think I'm being mean or whatever. And that's bad. And I shouldn't do that. And so when I was preparing for this, I thought to myself, how am I? Because I need to change that. So as a collective whole, how are you? And how can we change that? So people see love and not other things. None of our family can control our tempers. We lose our tempers quickly. Well, you keep saying that over and over again. What happens? You're going to start doing that. Oh, our house is full of lazy pigs. Well, you keep calling your kids lazy pigs. Uh-oh. These are all things that I've heard over years of just being around people, being around my own family. And, you know, sometimes things slip out of your own mouth. You know, you got to catch that. You have to catch that. Our words reveal the clutter in our lives. Because what comes in tends to go out. So what we bring in our lives, and I'm just not talking about, I'm talking about whatever you're watching, whatever you're reading, whatever you're hearing, it comes out. It comes out, and I know it does. I just look at the teenagers at my school. They listen to crap. I'm not kidding. It's crap. It's talking about living the life of money, money, greed, greed, sex, sex, drugs, killing people, killing this, that stuff. And I'm not just talking about, it's in metal music, it's in rap music, it's in easy listening music. It's all different places. And so what comes in comes out. And I believe that's where we're at as a society. We're seeing all that stuff come out now. And that's a sad thing. So maybe we need to put out some more L-O-V-E-G-O-D in our life. Amen? Some of the books that I read on education and things like that always say, you know, you should say to your kids, you know, we're not a bad family, we're learning. You know, we're learning. I can see that. It might find it silly and whatever, but I can see that because what we speak, you know, my kid is learning to be this. You know, we're working on this. It's my kid is a good kid, you know. You know, our family is growing in anger management skills, right? I mean, it sounds funny, but in reality, I mean, if you want a change, you got to You got to sometimes create that. Amen? How we view people and how we view your family, you know, affects how we love them and how we talk to them. Let's turn to Matthew. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 23. This is going to be our main scripture we're going to focus on this morning. And I want to talk about, like I said, cleaning the house or getting rid of the clutter. Amen? In Matthew chapter 23, let's read verses 25 through 28, I think. We might go other places, but we'll start there. It says in verse 25 in chapter 23, it says, "What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are so careful to clean the outside of your cup and the dish, but the inside you're filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence." I don't want to stop there. And what I'm trying to point here is this is what's on the inside. Right? We're talking about what's on the inside of your house. We already built the house, right? The house is on foundation. That's great. But now let's clean the inside. All right, let's make sure we're straightening up on the inside. We're straightening on the inside. So in verse 26 it says, "You blind Pharisees, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too." So that tells me right there, what I put on the inside and what I do on the inside of my heart is going to show on the outside. Amen? Right there tells me how to live my life. I got to put good things in, wash the inside, clean the inside, because from there, then the outside will be washed. And if I don't do that, then it's like the Pharisees. I look good, I look good, I might act good, I might do good things, but on the inside I'm dirty. Verse 27 says, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly you look like righteous people, but inwardly your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness." There's some stories about the Pharisees that they would strain their water so that they wouldn't accidentally swallow a gnat, because a gnat wasn't a clean insect to eat according to the law. So outwardly, they would even strain their water out to make sure they were not being seen as unclean. But they were meticulous about the details of being ceremonially clean. But they had lost their perspective on inner purity. They had lost their perspective on what's supposed to happen on the inside. One person I read, I think it's Charles Spurgeon, but I could be wrong. He said, "In reality, the Pharisees would even then swallow a camel and not even notice." Being that they were ceremonial clean on the inside, on the outside, but had corrupt hearts on the inside. Jesus condemned these types of people. Living out Christianity merely means that we show others like painting the outside and straightening up the inside. When we are clean on the inside, outside cleanliness won't be a shame and won't be hard to do. If we stay in the book of Matthew and go to chapter 15, go to chapter 15 and get to verses 18. This goes back to what we were talking about before. It says then, "But the words you speak come from the heart, and that is what defiles you. We work hard to keep our outward appearances attractive, but deep down in our hearts, where nobody can see, is where we find that we might be dirty. On the outside, we might look clean and fresh and whatever, but on the inside, we're dirty. But who can see the inside? God. God can see the inside. And that's what is more important to God. What are you like on the inside? What am I like on the inside? That should be a question. What am I doing on the inside? Because that's going to affect my outside. Amen? When we become Christians, God should make us different on the inside, which then obviously he continues the process, which changes us on the outward side. Now, some of you, like me, might have been in a bad predicament when you were a non-Christian, when you were a non-believer, where you did a lot of things, and people saw you a certain way. And then when you became a Christian, they were expecting to see the same person. But they did see the same person on the outside, but was your inside affecting your outside so that they couldn't see the old person, but they saw the new person? Amen? That's the question. I can tell you that my brothers, I love you if you're going to listen. Sometimes they listen. But I just want to use them as an example. When I first became a Christian in 2007, and Nina can attest to this too, we went home and I was a big drinker and other things like that, and I don't want to go into that, but my brothers were as well, and we were pretty close, and we did it all together. We'd always do it all together, and there were bad situations that arise and things like that. But we were always together. It was like the three musketeers. And when I became saved, I stopped all of that. And when I went home for the first time, my middle brother was like, "Where's my brother at?" First time I saw him. "Hey, what's going on? Why'd you change?" And that was really hard for me. That's my brother, you know, asking me why I changed and how could I change and where's my drinking buddy and where's my this buddy and where's my that buddy. You know how hard that was for me in my heart? That's my brother, right? So I told him, it's because I had to. I needed to. And he didn't like that. He didn't like that answer. But what I'm saying is that he noticed the change. He noticed on the outside what had changed on the inside. So the challenge for you, or the challenge for all of us, is that are we changing the inside to reflect our outside? Let's stay in Matthew and go to chapter 12. Now, I can tell you now, as you're turning there, I can tell you now, hopefully my life is affecting his life. Amen? And I pray that's all of us, that our lives are living so much out loud that it affects the people around us. Amen? Matthew 12, verse 34. Yeah, verse 34 says, "You brood of snakes! How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say." And we go to verse 35. I don't think I put it up there, but it says, "A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart." It says that an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. This just goes to show that God is looking for us to change on the inside, because then that will change us on the outside. So clean the inside, people, and then the outside will show clean. Amen? Jesus reminds us here that it's our heart that needs to be cleaned. It's our heart that needs to be cleaned. And what we take in is either going to clean our hearts or it's either going to dirty our hearts. So what are we taking in that's going to clean our hearts? If we want to come out clean, we want to do good things, as this word just says in chapter 12, verse 34. If we want to come out good, if we want to produce good things, then we have to then put in good things. And we're not talking by the world standards, because I know what the world standards are. And good, well, it's a gray area. But God's standards say a different and paint a different picture of what good is. Amen? I want to have some more scriptures here. Let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke. I don't think there is a book of Luke. Luke chapter 6. And are you with me? Say amen. Are you with me? Verse 45 is very much similar as Matthew chapter 12. It says this: "A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart." I just wanted to point it out that it's here more than once, and it's in two different gospels. That means two different people heard it, spoken from Jesus. And usually, if you're going to be a witness, you need more than one person to witness what somebody said, right? And so now it's here twice from two different people. Therefore, I'm pretty sure Jesus said that a good person produces good things from a treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. When you think about the people that you love, love flows from your heart. When you think about what Jesus asked us to do in the two main commandments he gave, love God with all your heart, all your soul, everything you got, right? All your mind. And then it said, love your neighbors. Love your neighbors. If we have love for our neighbors on the inside, what will flow out? Love for your neighbors. Love for your neighbors. In Proverbs, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 is going to lead us into a different section of what we're talking about, because we're talking about what's in your hearts comes out, yes? What you take in your heart, in your heart of hearts on the inside, is then what's going to flow out of you. Well, then it says this, chapter 4 and verse 23, says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Amen. Amen. That's something we need to stick up, put it on our refrigerator, put it on your doorway, put it on your forehead, put it on your mirror and your vanity. I don't know what you need to put it on. Guard your heart. Because that means that whatever you're bringing in, whatever you're bringing in determines the course of your life. And I'm sure we all have friends or family members that we can see that they let certain things get into their heart, and man, did that determine the course of their life and where they're at because of that. Our heart, our feelings, our desires dictate to a huge extent how we live. Because we somehow find the time to do what we enjoy to do. Let's fill it with God. Let's fill it with love. Let's fill it with the good things that come from God. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, right? All of those things. Let's fill it with that, because then what will come out of you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? The fruits of the Spirit, yes. And how will that affect your relationship with people? Oh, man. You'll be loving with them. You'll be kind to them. You'll be patient with them. Amen? And that's what people are looking for. That's how we're going to save the lives of people out there, is to love on them. Be patient with them. In Solomon here, or Solomon in the Bible tells us that to guard our hearts above all things, making sure we concentrate on those desires that will keep us on the right path. Because those desires that will take you off the right path will do just that. They'll take you off the right path onto the wide path, where most people are. And that path leads to destruction. Make all your affections lead you in the right path. Put boundaries on your desires. Don't go after everything you see, but look straight ahead and keep your eyes fixed on a goal, and don't get sidetracked. Don't get detoured. Because that detour might lead to sin. And that's where you don't want to be. Amen? Amen. I want you to turn to 1 Peter. I know, Pastor Calvin, you read from 1 Peter this morning, huh? We're going to read from 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read a series of scriptures because I believe that's going to take us to where we want to go. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you have your Bibles and you're there, say amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. I'm going to read this. It says, "So get rid of all the evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation." Oh, that tells me that if we're doing any of that, that's in verse 1. Can we go back to verse 1? If we're doing anything like that, deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and any all unkind speech, that we're missing out on what verse 2 says. Verse 2 says, then, like newborn babies, we must crave spiritual milk, but that you will grow, so that you will grow into the full experience of salvation. Amen. Now see that. Get that. It says, be rid of all this other stuff so that you can grow in the fullness of salvation. So that means if I'm not a jealous person, if I'm not a lying person, but I say this and this and this, I'm missing out on something. You understand? You might not be a murderer, you might not be that, but you're missing out on something if we are not done with all of this sin stuff. It says, then cry out for this nourishment. Cry out. Cry out. Reminds me of worship. Shout out to God. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. You see, there's so much more for us. It starts at salvation, but there's so much more. There's so much more. It's not just the fact of being saved. It's not just the fact of knowing that you're going to go to heaven, but there's so much more and power on earth that's inside of you that you can live with, that people are craving, and that call of God is on your life to do those things with the gift that God has given you. Amen? If we keep reading, and it says, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but now is chosen by God for greater glory. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Amen. Say, I'm his holy priests. You know why he calls you that? Because you have a call to preach the gospel. You have a call to affect people. Amen. It says, then through the meditation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. And the scripture says, I'm placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. It says, yes, you who trust in him recognize the honor God has given him. For those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And this is who we build our life around, amen? And this is who we let come into our life and remodel things around and clean out the clutter that we need to get out, amen? This is the rock to which we build our life on, amen? This is the rock in which you should be letting in your life and cleaning out all the crap that's in your life, amen? This is the man, Jesus Christ. He is the stone that makes people stumble, but the rock that makes them fall, because you need to be on him. You need to be in him. He needs to be your foundation. Amen? Amen? Come on now. It says then, they stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But then verse 9 says, but you are not like that. Say, I'm not like that. Say, I am not like that. You are not like that. You are royal priests. Amen? Amen. Say amen to that. You are royal priests. Come on, now get this. A holy nation, God's very own possession. Woo. Anybody ever created something in here before? Anybody ever made something before? If you're a mother or father, you have made something.
prized possession? Prized possession. God calls you his prized possession. His prized possession. God's very own possession. And as a result, you, who? Can show others the goodness of God, for he has called you out of the darkness and into the wonderful light. Get rid of the stuff. Get rid of the stuff and be the wonderful light that God has called. We got to get rid of the stuff, people. Romans chapter 8. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. It says, but you who are controlled by your sinful nature, you are not controlled by your sinful nature. Repeat that. But I am not controlled by my sinful nature. And say, I am controlled by the Spirit. Because that's what God says you are. Amen? You are controlled by the Spirit, not by your sinful nature. That's how we can get rid of all the clutter that's in the way of the Spirit working in your life. Amen? Get rid of the clutter. Let's turn to the book of John. Amen. How many of us are getting this today? Amen. Let's get rid of the clutter and be cleaned out from the inside, because that's how we're going to show the power of God inside of you. Amen. John. Come on now. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're going to read 17 and 18. It says here, he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because he isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. It says, but you know him. Say, I know him. Because he lives with me now and later with you, right? Jesus speaking here that the Holy Spirit is living with him. And when he goes, the Holy Spirit will then now be living in us. Me, you, us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 18 says, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. He says, no. You might be lost. You might be lost, but I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to grab you. I'm going to hug you. I'm going to save you from your damnation, and I'm going to give you salvation. Amen? That's what he's telling you. That's what he's telling all of us. He doesn't look at us as orphans. He looks at us as his own prized possession. That's you. That's you. That's me. In verse 23, then it goes in and he says this. He says, Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and he will come and make our home with each of them. Make his home in you and with you. That's what he says. His home with you, in you, and working through you. Amen? Let's turn to Galatians. The book of Galatians. I pray that this is an encouragement for us today to clean house, people. To clean house, because there is so much greater things in the inside of you than you're letting out. There's so much power on the inside from the power of the Holy Spirit that's inside of you because you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior that you just need to let out because God is wanting to work through you. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 6. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into where? Into our hearts. Into where? Into our hearts. From our heart is what comes, what we speak, what we do, how we, whatever, right? So who's in our hearts? The Spirit of the Son of God is in you so that it can come out of you. Amen? We can apply these principles to our spiritual life. We can apply these principles to our own house life, to our family life, whatever it is. If we neglect our spiritual side, if we neglect our own spiritual hearts, we're going to end up in a lot of messes. We're going to end up in a lot of messes. And you might be there right now. Get the broom. Get the mop. Get the trash can. Get the fire of the Holy Spirit. And the fire will burn up the chaff. Amen? The trash will take it. It's never ending trash. Throw it in there. Amen. Amen. Man. Problems begin to develop, people, when we begin to make the wrong decisions and then stick with those wrong decisions. Amen. So best we just have a better relationship with Jesus, solidify that spirit in your heart, and not worry about any messes. Amen? Not worry about those messes. Maybe we should be honest with ourselves and look at the messes we have in our lives and just deal with it. Deal with them. Clean it out. Let go. Somebody said one time, I heard, let go and let God. Let go and let God. Perhaps they are some minor mishaps that you had went through. Well, resolve it. Resolve it. Resolve it and let go. Let God. Amen. We, as Christians, I'm going to say this, we as Christians should not be satisfied nor defeated by our past experiences. And what I mean by that is this. By our past successes should not define what you do today. Your past defeats should not define what you do today. And what I mean by that is this. Consider your effort. Consider what is needed from now and on. Okay, you preached the word. You helped 5 people to the Lord last week. That's great. What are you doing today? What are you doing today? What are you doing tomorrow? That's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about. You know what? You talked to 5 people at Walmart about God. Great. What are you doing today? All that's good. All that is good stuff. But what are you doing today? What are we doing tomorrow? What are we doing next week? What are we doing from now on? Amen? Amen. There's a story about, I don't know if you know the history of France, and you ever heard of Napoleon? Maybe they teach that in school. I don't know if they teach it anymore. I teach crazy stuff in school now. I don't know. But anyway, the story goes like this. During one of Napoleon's military campaigns, a young captain was recommended to him for a promotion. Napoleon said to this person, "Why do you suggest this man in particular?" The person said, "Because of his unusual courage on the battlefield. A few days ago, there was a victory, and he was a major part of that victory." Napoleon said, "Very good, but what will he do tomorrow?" Yeah. I know Napoleon's always looked at as like a bad guy in history, but this, I think, rings true if we want to talk about how to live our lives. How to clean our lives and move forward. What are we going to do tomorrow? We may be good today. We may be good last week. You know, we may have said this and said this last week, and, oh, yeah, I helped people. I gave $5 to charity. All right, great. Mm-hmm. I'm good. And that's good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that's wrong. What are you doing today? What are we doing tomorrow? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I think where we're at in the Word. What are we doing going forward? Amen. What are we doing going forward? Let's turn to Ephesians. Just another book over here. Ephesians chapter 17, or chapter 3. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 17 and 18 very simply says this. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. Where? in your hearts. It says, as you trust him, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Verse 18 says then, and may you have the power to understand as all God's people should. You see, now I want to reiterate that. If we combine all 17 and the first part of 18, it says, and may you have the power to understand as all God's people should. That means there's going to be some people who are not doing what they're supposed to be and not understanding. So let's be like God's people and understand. And then it keeps going on and says, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. Amen? His love is. Jesus is looking for a place to dwell. Right? And he wants to dwell in your hearts. Clean it out. Is your heart clean? Is my heart clean? Is your heart clean? All of it. Every room in your house, is it clean? Remember, I'm talking about here. Your house, the dwelling of the Lord. Is every room in your house clean? Is every part of your house clean? Let's turn to Psalms, last scripture for today, the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms. Let's go to Psalms chapter 51. We're going to read about something that David did. How many of you heard of David? Yeah? Amen? In David, chapter 50, in David, well, in Psalm 51, verse 2, this is something that David did. He prayed. He prayed, sang songs, and he stated, he confessed, he declared, he spoke, wash me, clean from my guilt, purify me from my sin. If we know David, we know David was into some rough stuff, made some bad decisions, but that did not define him. That did not define his life. He cleansed, he got all that clutter out. He cleansed his heart and he repented of his sins and he cleansed himself. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. And if we go then and jump to verse 10 and 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a loyal spirit within me. Wash me thoroughly. In some version it says, wash me in my iniquity. Wash me from all of the stuff that I've done that has stained me. And cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart. Renew. And another version it says, renew a steadfast spirit within me. Because we are all born sinners. Out of natural inclination, we like to please ourselves rather than pleasing God. David followed that inclination, got him into trouble. Most of us who have followed those natural inclinations have fallen into trouble. But that doesn't define who you are. That doesn't define how you have to be. That doesn't define what you're going to do today. It doesn't define what you're going to do tomorrow. Amen? What defines you, what you're going to do today, what you're going to do tomorrow, is what's in your heart. Amen. Amen? What's in your heart? Now, if you're a believer in Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is in your heart. Amen? And so what is in your heart flows out of you. Amen? What is inside your heart flows out of you. So fill it with good things. Fill it with God things. Fill it with Jesus. Amen? Because then it will flow out of you. So easy you won't even be knowing you're doing it. It just comes from you. It's natural now because God is on the inside of you, flowing on the outside. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let us stand. I want us to close our eyes and just take some time for yourself here. Just take some time for yourself. Nobody needs to look around. Just look at yourself. And this morning, I want you to ask yourself these questions. What's in my heart that is cluttering my actions? I'm going to say a list of things that are cluttering your heart. And if you're one of those that's cluttering, I want you to say to yourself, I give it to you, Jesus. If there's something that is said right now, and that's you, and you're holding on to this clutter, I want you to give it away. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. Memories of a hurtful conversation with your husband or your children. Painful episodes of trials from the past. Negative labels about yourself or negative labels you put on somebody else. Thank you, Jesus. Self-pity. Let it go. Let it go. If that's you, with self-pity, I declare God's word over you that you are His prized possession. You are His child and His prized possession. Let that self-pity go. You are worth it. You are worth it that He sent His child, His Son, for you. If there are failures and mistakes and sins in your past, let it go. Do as David did and ask, wash me. If there has been any threats upon you, like I hope your son is just like you, or I hope your daughter is just like you, let it go. Let it go. Let it go and let God. If you're out there and you have any thoughts that immobilize your life, like, oh, I just don't have enough money, let that stinking thinking go right now. You serve the God of plenty. You serve a God that is greater than your monetary problems. Amen? Give that to Him. Let it go. He will provide, and He is providing. If you're out there and you have any doubts about God and His goodness, let it go. Believe and receive what God has for your life. If you're daydreaming about different husbands or different wives or different children or a different house or a different life, let it go. God puts you where you're supposed to be. Amen. Trust God that He will provide every you need that you need. If it's you that has frustration toward other people, especially your husband or wives or children, friends, co-workers, let it go. Clean it out. Let it out. Let it drain from you. If it's going to drain out in tears, let it drain out in tears, but let it go. If it's an addiction that's causing you to be not who God called you to be, then we call that addiction out of you right now in Jesus' name. If you're full of worries and anxiety, take a deep breath and let it go and blow it out. Your God, the God that you serve, the God that lives in your heart is bigger than all of that stuff. Amen? Bigger than all that stuff.
And we declare blessings over your life, that stuff that you released right now is gone right now in Jesus' name. You don't have any of that stuff. No worries, no frustrations. God has filled that void. Love has filled that void. Joy has filled that void. Peace has filled that void this day. And from this day forward, you are full of love in Jesus' name. Be full of love. Be full of compassion. Let your house be clean. Let your life show that your house is clean. Be the man that God made you to be. Be the woman that God made you to be. Be the son that God made you to be. Be the daughter that God made you to be. Be the teacher that God made you to be. Be the worker that God made you to be. And be it with the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of your heart. Be all that you were meant to be in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray over all of you, power of the Holy Spirit from the inside, to change your outside. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For the God that we serve is greater. The God that you serve is greater. And what we sang this morning, the enemy has been defeated. Amen? Say that with me. The enemy has been defeated. Say that again out loud. The enemy has been defeated. No more worries, no more trials, no more problems in your life. Amen. That should make us run around. That should make us be happy. That should make us be joyful. Amen. Amen. You are clean on the inside. Amen. Woo! That's good. God is good all the time and all the time. God is good, people. Go out from this church and be the men and women that God made you to be. Full of power, full of joy, full of peace, full of patience, full of kindness, full of gentleness, full of self-control. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God for all of you. Thank you. Thank you. But most of all, let's thank God. Let's thank God. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in all my life. Thank you, Jesus, for what you want done in my life. And you know what? We should thank Jesus for what he's doing and thank Jesus for what he's gonna do. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed week. God bless you. Be full of the Spirit. Be full of fire. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.